We're going to turn in our Bibles tonight to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. We want to read beginning at verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now if you will, turn back a few pages to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. I'll stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to show us afresh tonight the glories of the cross of Calvary. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, it will be sunset. And the Jewish feast of Yom Kippur will begin and run through nightfall tomorrow night. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. It is the holiest day of the year in Judaism. And we mention Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement, because tonight we are remembering the Lord in the Lord's Supper. And these observances are not unrelated. Tonight we are remembering our Day of Atonement. And so for a few moments we want to look at these verses and see in them, in the comparisons and in the contrasts, something of our Day of Atonement, the cross of Calvary, and our remembrance of it, and what the Lord Jesus did for us there. Notice, first of all, that the Lord says that the Day of Atonement, verse 29, shall be a statute forever unto you. I believe that the Lord's Supper shall be a statute forever unto us. In 1 Peter 1:20, Peter tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world to shed His precious blood. Foreordained before the foundation of the world is eternity past. And so in eternity past, we see the death and the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep your place here and turn over to Matthew chapter 26, if you will. Matthew chapter 26. Let's read it, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now notice verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The day that the Lord is talking about in verse 29 is the day when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And that day is in eternity future. And in that day, what will we be doing? We will be remembering his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. It reminds us of the words of a wonderful song that the choir sings. It's still the cross. It's still the blood. In eternity past, it's the cross of Calvary. In time, it's the cross of Calvary. And in eternity future, it's the cross of Calvary. The Lord's Supper shall be a statute forever unto you. Now let's go back to Leviticus chapter 16. I'll give you a little heads up. If you want to mark yourself around Matthew 26, just to help you get back to that area again in a few minutes, you can. But we want to go back to Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls. Ye shall afflict your souls. God tells his people, ye shall afflict your souls. We see that in verse 29, and we see it again in verse 31. So it's an important part of the Day of Atonement. And it's an important part of this remembrance feast that we'll be entering into tonight. The word afflict means to humble. It means to weaken oneself. God's people here on the Day of Atonement were to humble themselves and weaken themselves. So here is our first comparison between the Day of Atonement and the Lord's Supper, is that it should be a statute forever unto you. Here's another comparison of the Day of Atonement and the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, we're to afflict ourselves. The question is, how are we going to do that? How are we going to humble ourselves and weaken ourselves as we come to this day of remembrance? Well, if you listen to me and you kept your hand or place around Matthew, it'll be easy for you to turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we want to read beginning at verse 17. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. Now it's important to notice when the Lord Jesus said this. He said it in the moments before he instituted the Lord's Supper. That's important for us to think about. Because in the moments before we remember the Lord this evening, I believe the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, says the same thing to you and me that he said to his disciples. Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me, he's here tonight. He's here tonight. And we're eating with him. one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. Betray him? How? In our thoughts, in our words, in our actions? Have we betrayed him today? According to the Word of God, we have. Every imagination of the thoughts of our heart is only evil continually. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, so that out of it, out of our hearts, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. This is why the Lord Jesus, who is here tonight, would ask us this question, or would say this to us. Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And our reaction to that many times is the same as the initial reaction of the disciples. We won't take time to turn to it, but Luke tells us in Luke 22 and verse 23, and they began, when the Lord Jesus told them this, they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. John tells us in chapter 13 and verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. That's how we are, isn't it? We inquire among ourselves. We look at one another, not literally. I don't see anybody turning around and looking. But in our minds, we're running through a group of people that they may be the betrayer. I'm sure it's this one. I'm sure it's that one. And what we're doing in our minds when we look among ourselves, inquire among ourselves, what we're doing is measuring ourselves by ourselves and comparing ourselves among ourselves, and the conclusion that we arrive at is what would best be called relative righteousness compared to this one or that one. I'm not the betrayer. It's not me. And so we do not afflict ourselves. We don't humble ourselves and weaken ourselves before the Lord. But something happened in that upper room. And it's something that needs to happen here tonight in my heart and your heart. Look at verse 19. And they began to be sorrowful. But that verse doesn't end there, because it's not enough to be sorrowful. We can be sorry that we got caught in our sin. Being sorrowful isn't afflicting ourselves. Being sorrowful isn't humbling ourselves and weakening ourselves. Now it's the rest of this verse that tells us how to afflict ourselves. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him. To say unto him. Mark is telling us that they stopped inquiring among themselves. They stopped looking at one another. They stopped doubting who the Lord was talking about. And they said unto him, the Word of God living, the one who looks on the heart, the one who pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. They said unto him, the one who is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, one by one. That's personally and individually, isn't it? They began to be sorrowful. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. and to say unto him one by one, is it I? Is it I? Am I the betrayer? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Is it I? This is how we afflict ourselves. This is how we humble and weaken ourselves at the Lord's table. This is what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But let a man, that's singular, let a man, let a woman, let each individual, that's personal, but let a man examine himself. But let a man afflict himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, because the failure to do that brings judgment. Judgment that could result in weakness and sickness and even death. And then Paul says, for if we would judge ourselves, if we would afflict ourselves, we should not be judged. We should not be afflicted. There's something that we need to keep ever before us as we think about these things. And again, it is the wickedness and the deceitfulness of our hearts when it comes to this matter of afflicting ourselves. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7 and verse 21, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So when we would come to a service like this, and we would afflict ourselves, this wicked and deceitful heart is right there to fight against us. And it's demonstrated for us here. Mark tells us in verse 19 that they began to say unto him, one by one, is it I? They, in verse 19, includes Judas. They includes Judas. Matthew 26 and verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? So here's good going on at the first Lord's Supper. People asking the Lord, is it I? And yet, evil is present. Evil is present, as it is at every Lord's Supper. And the evil is demonstrated by Judas, the betrayer. And he's not some weird, strange, unusual creature. He's us by nature, isn't he? He's a picture of our wicked and deceitful heart. When we would do good and afflict ourselves, evil is present with us to feign affliction, to feign humility, just as Judas did. And then when that happens, what we end up doing is keeping the feast with old leaven, with the leaven of malice and wickedness, instead of keeping it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We eat and drink judgment to ourselves. Is it I? Is the question that needs to be asked in sincerity and truth. The Lord's Supper, this day of atonement, is an opportunity for us to truly afflict our souls, to humble ourselves and examine ourselves so that we can eat of that bread and drink of that cup with nothing between my soul and the Savior. With the fellowship, nothing between. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 16, if you will. The next thing that we notice in verse 29, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. Do no work at all. It's another comparison with the Lord's Supper. The Lord tells us the same thing tonight, doesn't he? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. On the Day of Atonement that we're reading about here, God's people were to do no work. As we come to the Lord's Supper tonight, this Day of Atonement, we are to have ceased from our works. We aren't here trying to complete some kind of work. We're here because we've given up our works. Because what we are celebrating is the work of redemption that's been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Here's another comparison between the Day of Atonement that the children of Israel were to observe and our observance of the Lord's Supper. For on that day, on the cross of Calvary, our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, made an atonement for us to cleanse us, that we might be clean from all our sins before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, that's what would be sacrificed here. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's what the priest was going to do here in verse 30. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Verse 32. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement. Now listen to this language here. And the priest whom he shall appoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? That's a picture of him. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 5, says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's the Father who made the Lord Jesus the high priest. And he is the one, as we read there, he is the one who made the atonement. He became the author of eternal salvation. But there's a contrast in verse 32. A contrast between the Day of Atonement and the cross of Calvary and our remembrance of it tonight. Notice that here, it's the priest that made the atonement Well, let's just read the verse again. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. I want you to think about something. Notice that here, it's the priest that made the atonement that put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. Not the people. But here is a glorious contrast. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus was not dressed in fine linen clothes. The Lord Jesus was stripped of his garments. And he was clothed with our sin and our shame, that we might put on the linen clothes of the righteousness of God. Even the holy garments that Isaiah describes. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Verse 33. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation. And for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests. And for all the people of the congregation. Here again we have a contrast between the Day of Atonement and the Lord's Supper and the cross of Calvary. Here on the Day of Atonement we have the holy sanctuary, we have the tabernacle of the congregation, we have the altar. The priest was the one who went in there. Tonight, as we sit at the Lord's table, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, which is our hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 34. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. This is the final contrast between the Day of Atonement and the cross of Calvary, the remembrance of the cross. The Day of Atonement for the children of Israel was for all their sins once in a year. Once in a year, every year. But here's another one of the glorious contrasts. Tonight, as we are getting ready to remember the Lord, as we sit at his table, we can rejoice in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And beginning at verse 14, we read, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. Not one year like this. One offering, once for all. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I didn't look too far ahead. It'll be in October next year. We have the Lord's Supper on odd months. I didn't look beyond that when it'll be scheduled. But what an appropriate day, the Day of Atonement, for us to remember the Lord and the Lord's Supper and to contemplate these things, afflicting ourselves. To think about the sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. The efficacy of his sacrifice there, the efficacy of his blood. It's a very appropriate day for us to remember the Lord. And we'll do that as the men come.